Ordinarily, when I stand here, I greet you with, "This is the day the Lord hath made," and you respond with, "Let us rejoice and be glad in it." But today is not just a good morning, it is truly God's morning. You'll see in the bulletin a different greeting. Please join me. Christ the Lord is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's do it again. Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. It is God's morning. There are a couple of things that you need to know about today.
This day of resurrection is wondrous indeed. Let us stand back up as we are able to share our joy with the words of our Easter litany.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia, the Lord is risen today. That Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again on the third day. Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed. He appeared to Peter and to the 12 and to many faithful witnesses.
Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed. At last he came to us that we might come to believe and proclaim this good news to the world. Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed.
Let us pray. We give you glory, O God, for you have won victory over death, raising Jesus from the tomb and giving us eternal life. We give you glory, O Christ, for us and for our salvation. You overcame death and opened the gate to everlasting life. We give glory to you, O Holy Spirit, for you lead us into the truth. We give you all glory to you, O Blessed Trinity, now and forever. Amen.
Oh,
brothers and sisters in Christ, will you please rise as you are able and join with me as we share with the Lord who we are and whose we are. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and hungry and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust your power to change our lives, to make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant given in Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ was born. Christ lived. Christ died a tortuous death. And in faith and hope and love, the Lord raised him from death. For he loved us so much that our sins were forgiven in that love. We are forgiven people. The Lord has blessed us and now asks us to go forth into the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that we are forgiven. And all of Christ's people said, Amen. You may be seated.
This scripture reading comes from Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that casts over all peoples, the sheet that has spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.
I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Listen now for God's word to God's people. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, like today, even though Mindy's anthem asked the question, was it a morning like this, I tend to believe that that day, 2,000 years ago, began like today, as a beautiful spring morning. The sun was barely over the eastern horizon, and the fragrance of acacia and terebinth and coriander and frankincense hung in the still air as three women wove their way through a rocky field to their destination. Concentrating on the job ahead, they spoke very little. And when they did, the words were inconsequential. They did not want to think or remember or of the events that had happened 3 days earlier. The grief ran deep. It was better to let it rest. It was better to talk only of the unimportant little things of life. As they came closer to their destination, one of them wondered how they'd move that large boulder that blocked the way to their destination. It was then that they looked up and saw that it no longer blocked the entrance to the tomb. Even though, through their exhaustion, the women became anxious, how could this be? So few people knew or cared where the grave was. They knew it had been closed off on Friday. What had happened since then? From the beginning to the end, Mark's gospel is full of secrets. Remember that first leper in chapter 1? Jesus warned him to tell no one of how he came to be clean. And in chapter 3, he sternly told the demonic spirits to tell no one what they knew about him. And then he brought that little girl, Talitha, back to life in chapter 4 and told her family, oh yeah, tell no one how it had come to pass. And the list goes on and on. That the entry to the tomb was mysteriously open seems to be another secret, at least until the woman's curiosity overcomes their concern and they move into the open space beyond the entryway. Inside, they see the unraveled burial bandages and cloths lying nearby the stone table on which Jesus' body had been laid. And they see a young man dressed in all white. He speaks words often spoken by heavenly messengers in other gospel stories. He says, "Do not be afraid." Afraid? Maybe not, but if I'd been there, oh my, I'd been frozen in shock, totally unable to move, and confused. Oh yes, very confused. Yes, there had been rumors, but no one had ever paid much attention. Had they taken the notion seriously, the notion that Jesus would arise, they wouldn't have felt the need to bring spices to a tomb to rub on a 3-day-long dead body. No, Jesus was dead. He had died a tortuous, unspeakable death. Mark clearly claims these three had been among the women who'd remained at Friday's crucifixion until the bloody end. Just check chapter 15. Hmm. And yet, here is this young man saying Jesus had been raised and had gone on ahead to Galilee. Now, I would have run out of that place as fast as they did. It's no wonder Mark's gospel ends right there. For them, there was nothing more to say. The truth was out. Jesus had been raised from the dead. So the women run home in great fear, the exact opposite of what the young man had asked them to do. They keep their encounter to themselves. Who'd have believed them? Rising up from the dead was nigh on to impossible. Never mind the little girl. Jesus' death was the end of the story. And they'd be crazy to think otherwise. That's certainly common wisdom at work. If something is too good to be true, it probably isn't. If something is beyond belief, to say otherwise would make other people think that you had lost your wits. So Mark ends his memorial here. Christ lived, Christ died, Christ was raised again. What more was there to say? Yes, Mark's writing is always direct and to the point. He doesn't often elaborate on the details. But this seems so unsettling, so discouraging, so uninspiring. Yes, Jesus had risen from the dead. He had foretold this to many people. But the women went home. They did not proclaim the good news. They huddled in fear of being caught. So how did we come to know all about Jesus' stories if these women did not share what they'd learned or encouraged others to share their memories? It's also very troubling, also very unfinished. Other gospel writers of that era were not so terse. They added extra lines. In fact, what you see in your Bibles, there's more paragraphs beyond verse 8, are additions to Mark's gospel, written later. They're alternative endings, perhaps written 100 years ago, years afterward or so, and appended to Mark's original end. Listen now to an alternate ending, the one that has managed to be added in our Gospels for us today, beginning at verse 9. Now, after he rose early on the first day of the week, Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they were walking in the countryside. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Yes, thanks be. Here, Mary Magdalene is the first to see Jesus, as she did in Matthew, Luke, and John's Gospels. And the women run back to tell the 11 what they had witnessed, just like in Matthew. He appears to two disciples on a roadway, a la Luke's story. And he seems to scold Thomas for not believing, as was told in John. And he charges the disciples to go out and make disciples of all nations, just like in Matthew. This ending is something of a mashup of the others, isn't it? And it is so much more satisfying than the original ending. I suspect we've seen movies that end differently than the director had originally intended. Think of Alfred Hitchcock's Suspicion, or perhaps Alien. Pretty in Pink's original ending had Molly Ringwald realizing that she was crazy about Ducky, and the two go to prom together. Instead, we saw the cute preppy boy fall for her, while, alas, poor Ducky fades into the background. We want story endings to fit, to feel right. And that said, I'm not so sure that this almost happily ever after ending is quite what Mark intended for us. Now, I truly do not know for a fact what his intent was. None of us do. But what if? What if it were more like the ending of the movie The Never Ending Story? For those of you who remember it or have never seen it, there's a little boy named Bastian. He's the lead character, and he's struggling with both losing his mom and school bullies. But he's a big reader, and he discovers this mystical book about how another boy goes on a quest to save the world in which he lives. Fantasia, I think it's called. And Bastian becomes really taken with this story. In his imagination, he rides along with the hero through the swamp of sadness and the sea of possibilities. And he is in a race with that boy to overcome the nothingness that threatens darkness to the land forever. Bastian even skips out on school to read in the building's attic and gets so involved in the book, he actually screams out at one point. And surprisingly, the book's characters hear his scream. From that point on, Bastian's character in the movie becomes stronger and more confident, just like the boy in the story. Over the pages, he is pulled so far into the book that ultimately his courageous action saves the day for the people of Fantasia. Now, in telling you this, I am not saying that Jesus' story is one of fantasy. No. I'm not saying that Mark's endings, either one of them, are wrong. No. But here is what that movie suggests that does work for us here. Bastian was drawn into the story to the depth that inspired him to act out of courage and conviction to help people of that fantasy land. Doesn't Mark's story of Jesus' life draw us in? Regardless of which ending we read, but especially the first one, aren't we being invited to act out of our courage and the conviction of our faith in Jesus to help people in this time and in this place? Can we be content with an empty tomb and the command to begin our ministry in the light of an empty cross? Do we need Jesus to tell us exactly what to do after being raised? Or do we know from his ministry during his life unto death on the cross how we are to live? For that matter, what would the church look like if we were less concerned with the resurrection, you know, eternal life and heaven and all that, and more concerned with living as Jesus lived, you know, serving others, even if it means our own death? We want a nice, comfortable ending to Jesus' story. And we can read that right here in Mark, if we go to the last verse. But is that all there is to this book for us? I do not believe so. I believe each of us has been called to live into his story, to make it our story by taking up our own crosses and serving him in ministry to the people who are most in need right around here, as well as the whole world. And if we lived like that, there could be any number of endings to Mark's story. And truly, by living Mark's gospel, we might inspire others to do likewise and thereby increase the number of endings until there is no ending. I'm not sure which ending Mark gives us that I prefer. I do not know, I believe, Jesus had been asking folks to keep things secret so they'd be sure to go out and tell everyone about the miracle he'd performed, which, you know, that happens. And I do believe that when we truly follow Christ, when we offer compassion and spiritual healing and food and nurture to those we meet, Jesus' story becomes a never-ending story. And in that way, Christ will have arisen, not just once, 2,000 years ago, but each and every day. Oh, my friends, say it with me. Christ the Lord has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen.
you please rise as you are able to state your faith in our risen Lord? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We are part of Jesus' never-ending story. What a wonderful gift. Today is the day of resurrection, the day we remember with joy and hallelujahs in our hearts. So I charge you to go out into the world in peace, to love one another and all you meet, and to share Jesus' never-ending story, not just in word, but indeed. Go forth in love to bless and praise the Lord. But go knowing that the love of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, and the community that draws us together in the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen and amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.